So glad you're here. One of the things I love to do in the summer is I love to go over to the arcade and I love to play Papa Shot. I love to get my basketball game on. You get 45 seconds to score as many hoops as possible. And if you play the ultimate version, the goal actually adjusts distances. And so the last 15 seconds is the three-point phase. And the goal shifts back. And if you make goals kind of from long range, you get 3 points. My all-time record is 45 points for 45 seconds. But I have a lot of work to do. In fact, after church today, I may run over and practice my shot a little bit more. I love that. Unfortunately, you only get 45 seconds to play. And then when the buzzer sounds, then everything is over. It's kind of like life, isn't it? We have a certain amount of time before the buzzer goes off. We have a certain amount of time to live. And what we want to do in life is to take as many shots as possible. We want to score as many baskets, as many points as possible. We want to embrace every single moment that God has for us. Today, we're continuing a series we kicked off a few weeks ago called It's a Mindset. And our mindset focus today is, I will embrace everything that God has for me. I will embrace everything that God has for me today. I will embrace everything God has for me today. I want to talk to you today about how to embrace every moment that God has for you and for us in the present. Because listen, we're not promised tomorrow, right? We would all love to think that we're going to be here for a really, really long time. And I hope that we all are. But the reality is we only have a certain number of days until the buzzer sounds and we're out of here. So how can we embrace the things that God has for us? How can we live each day to the fullest? Interestingly enough, the Bible addresses this in the 118th Psalm. And I want you to turn with me today in your Bible if you have one. And also on your note page, because Psalm 118:24 is a familiar verse to many of us, but it's a powerful one that we probably don't think about enough. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And the only day that this verse talks about is what day? Today, right? Doesn't talk about yesterday, and it doesn't talk about tomorrow. It talks about right now, today, today. This psalm was written by one of the kings of Israel. I think it sounds a lot like King David. We're not told specifically in the Bible, but it's obvious that the king has had many enemies, and God has delivered him in a great victory. And as a result, he goes to the house of worship to worship God. And that's what this song, what a 118th psalm, is all about. It's all about that. And it's all about today, what God wants to do in our life today. And this psalm is actually the most quoted psalm in all of the New Testament. Okay, the book of Psalms is in the Old Testament, but it's quoted repeatedly and more than any other psalm in the New Testament. Jesus quotes it. The gospel writers quote it, the epistles. I mean, there's so many. And we have to ask ourselves, if people keep talking about it over and over again, there has to be something about it that's powerful, right? There has to be something in it that has some truth and some insights for us that would be so helpful today, because people have been talking and quoting the 118th Psalm for many, many years. And throughout the New Testament. So, how do we do this? How can we begin to live in today? How can we keep that mindset? I will embrace everything that God has for me today. First of all, we have to not get hung up on the past, okay? If we're hung up on the past, we cannot embrace the present, right? Maybe there's an event or a season that's taken place in your life, and it's hard to get past the past, isn't it? Sometimes we have done things that have caused pain in our past, choices that we've made, and we're like, oh my goodness, if I could go back and do that again, please, Lord. Do you remember in Superman when he began to fly around the world and he spun the planet backwards and he brought time back? Wasn't that cool? Wouldn't that be great if we could do that? We've all got a long list of things that we would go back and redo. Maybe it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Maybe it was last night, for all I know. But there's choices and decisions that we make that we were like, oh my God, I wish I could go back. I wish I could do that over again. Lord, please. But the reality is, not going to happen, right? So we can learn from the past, right? In fact, it's foolish to not learn from the past. So we should learn from the past, but let's don't live in the past, right? Let's don't live there. Let's learn from it, and there's a lot to learn. People that don't learn from the past keep making the same mistakes, right? That's why people hop from relationship to relationship to relationship. Why? Because we don't learn, right? We just keep doing, we keep repeating the same patterns. So we have to deal with the past, but let's don't live there. And let's don't get hung up on the past. Let's don't get hung up on our past hurts and our past victories too. Sometimes our greatest enemy of our future is the successes we've had in the past, right? And we have to get over those too, because listen, yesterday's victories don't propel us into the future. I mean, we have to keep living for God. We have to keep making the right choices. We have to keep living with a Christ-centered mindset. And just because we did that 5 years ago doesn't mean that it's not important today, right? So past victories, past hurts, we can't live in the past. Look at this in verse 6 through 8, because if you read the 118th Psalm, it's really explained. The 24th verse that I just read a moment ago, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's really explained all the way through the 118th Psalm. I think verse 24 is kind of the theme of the entire chapter. But if you look at verse 6, it says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear what mere people can do to me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to take trust in people. And I read that verse this week and I thought, I have spent too much time over my lifetime worrying about my past, what people think of me, more than what God says about me. See, that's one of the big things we got to get past our past is living with the fear of people, the fear of what are they going to say. I hope that you're respected by the neighbors, and I hope people like you at the office, but listen, I hope that's not what keeps you going every single day. I hope it's the applause of God that keeps you moving, right? Because if we live with the fear of man, the fear of humanity, we will always be disappointed. We see this all the time with Hollywood stars. They have a big hit movie, and then we don't hear from them. And then what happens? They go into depression, right? Because they're not making the movies, and they're not, you know, all the hype, and people aren't applauding them, and they're not getting invited to all the parties, and they're not winning the awards and all that, and people are like, I don't know what to do with myself. Let's live for the applause of heaven. Let's be more concerned with what God says and thinks about us than what everybody else is saying, right? Because listen, what God thinks about us is consistent. It is. It's revealed to us in the Bible. What people think about us goes in and out of style. People are inconsistent. God is always faithful. So if our focus and our attention of our life is on the Lord, then we can live for today and we can forget about yesterday. We can forget about what is behind us. We all have that passion to be praised by others, right? And to be recognized and to be respected and admired. Some of that's fine, but we can't get our self-worth from that. And if we do, we'll always be disappointed, because people can never give us enough applause. The Bible also says don't worry about tomorrow, okay? So we can't be hung up on the past, and we can't worry about tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6 says this, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, You shouldn't worry about tomorrow, because guess what? You're going to have enough problems tomorrow. Just worry about today. Today has enough stuff to be concerned about. See, what we do a lot of times is we worry about tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, and we wonder, why are we so exhausted? Why am I so burned out? Why am I so overwhelmed? Because I'm worrying about day after day after day after day, and all of those days put together, it just gets too big and too overwhelming. And the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, the scripture doesn't say, and these are the words of Jesus, by the way, the scripture does not say, don't plan for tomorrow. It doesn't say, don't dream about tomorrow. It just says, don't worry about tomorrow. Did you get that? Don't worry about it, okay? We should plan and we should prepare, and that's all good. But let's don't worry about tomorrow. Listen, if you're worrying about tomorrow, you can never enjoy today. You can't live today if you're worried about tomorrow. You can't. You can't enjoy the things that God has for you if you're always paranoid about what's going to happen next. One of the scriptures I've really been thinking about over the last couple of years related to this topic is in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when the Israelites leave Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And if you remember the story, they wander in the wilderness. It's a desert. And they do so for 40 years before they get to the land of promise. And so Moses is now leading more than 1 million people through a desert. Can you imagine trying to feed all those people? There's no trees. There's no rivers. There's no wildlife, there's no animals, and there's a lot of people. And so God does something miraculous. He provides something called manna. And every morning when the Israelites would wake up, what would they do? They would go out and they would gather up this dew-like substance, and that was enough food for the day. But guess what? When the people tried to store it up, it would rot by the time they woke up the next morning. When I first read that, I thought, oh, this was a cruel trick by God. And then I realized, oh, no. This is God teaching his people to be dependent on him every day. Now, most of us are not going to starve to death. You got a little food in the pantry. At least get you by for a couple of days. But there's a powerful lesson in the story of the Exodus, and that is that the people of God had to be daily dependent upon him for their sustenance. And I believe that God wants us to have the same mentality today. Every single day, God, I am relying on you for your provision in my life. Let's don't live in the past, and let's don't worry about the future, tomorrow. I think worry is a lot like riding a stationary bike. I hear that people ride stationary bikes for fun. That sounds utterly boring to me. If I'm going to put all of the energy into riding a bike, I want to go somewhere. I don't know about you, but I want to go somewhere. And listen, when we worry more, what happens? When we worry more, we have more stress in our life, don't we? We really do. More and more stress. Sometimes we look at the world around us and we play the what if game, and I'm going to try and get on this bike with skinny jeans. This was a bad day to wear skinny jeans, but oh my God. Made it. I'm a lot more coordinated than you think. When we start to worry, we start to expend that energy, don't we? We're like, oh my goodness, we start to go down the path of what if. What if I don't have enough money to pay the bills? What if I gotta go and get a second job? What if I'm not gonna spend time with my family? What if my kids are gonna become drug dealers? What if I'm gonna have to stay up all night working at the laundromat watching old episodes of Cops? What if, what if, what if? And pretty soon we're peddling and peddling and peddling. And all of a sudden, we get to the point where we have expended all of this energy and we have gone nowhere. Does worry make anything better? Does worry fix problems? Somebody talk to me today. Do you feel better or worse? Have you ever woken up the next morning after you've been stressed out when you went to bed and you woke up and you had a big crook in your neck? That's not because you slept wrong. That's because you were stressed out and you worried and you were pedaling and pedaling and pedaling all night long. So listen, for us to embrace what God wants for us to do today, we got to get off the bicycle. We got to quit pedaling and going nowhere. And by the way, we appreciate Adventure Cycling for loaning us the bike today. Is that pretty cool? Got to get off that bike. So we don't want to miss what God has for us today. We don't want to miss what God has for us today. Today is the most important day. I can't change yesterday. All my successes and victories are gone. I can't turn back time and change what I've done. Tomorrow isn't here yet. That's why today is so important. By the way, Monday hasn't come yet. It's Sunday, church. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. We got a lot of life to live. We've got the purposes and the callings of God to take care of today, and therefore, I can't worry about tomorrow. I hadn't gotten there yet. Tomorrow hasn't come. I got plenty of assignments and things I got to get done today. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. Sometimes we think, oh, I just want to wait for the weekend, you know, when the weekend comes. But God has so much that He wants to do in your life on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, even on Thursday. That's why we call Wednesday hump day, right? Because we're like, I got to get to the weekend. Enjoy every day. God has a purpose and a plan for every single day. Let's discover what it is and let's walk in that. Today is the day. And so every day is a new opportunity. Every day is a new opportunity. If you lost the deal yesterday, make another one tomorrow. It's a new opportunity to get better. Every day is a new adventure, okay? Every day is a new adventure. There's a new dream to chase, a new relationship to build, a new opportunity to seize. Every day is a challenge. There's going to be new challenges for each day. Many people think that having a great day is kind of this mystical experience, like if my circumstances fall a certain way, then I'll have a good day. But if some bad things happen or I get some bad news, it's a bad day. But I love the words of the psalmist that says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. On the bad days, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. On the good days, this is still the day that the Lord made. And I'm going to have that contagious spirit of optimism and expectation regardless of the news that I get or what's going on in the world around me. And so how do we do that? Well, the Bible gives us four things today, and I want you to write these down. How can we live in the moment? How can we embrace today? Number one, today I will give thanks. Okay? Now, I know you can't control what everybody else is doing. And I know you can't control the economy. And I know you can't control so many things. But we can control these things. So let's work on the things that we can do. And let's not worry about the things that we cannot. Okay? So today I will give thanks. How many of us are capable of giving thanks? All of us, right? See, you can do that. And thanksgiving is one of the most powerful spiritual disciplines. Did you know that? Doctors tell us it has physiological benefits in our body, that we fight disease better, we sleep better, we will fight cancer better, there's so many health benefits. There's spiritual benefits. It brings us closer to God. There's emotional benefits. We will feel better. There's a lot of reasons to give thanks. And if we're so busy worrying about tomorrow, we can't give thanks for today, right? Look at verse 1 of Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. And there's two reasons to give thanks. Number one, God is good. Look at that in verse 1. And then number 2, he says, his loving kindness endures forever. There is no goodness, there is no end to the goodness of God. Okay, that's why we can be grateful. That's why we can be thankful. There is no end to God's goodness. It can never be stopped. Nobody can stop the goodness of God. It doesn't matter how evil or how sinister or how manipulative that they may be. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:16 actually tells us it's the will of God that we give thanks. Did you know that's part of the will of God for your life? To be thankful. To be thankful. To be grateful. And when we give thanks, guess what happens? It strengthens our faith. Why does it strengthen our faith? Because we're meditating on what God has done. I am so guilty of thinking about the future so much and working towards the future that I don't enjoy today. Has anybody ever been like that before? You know? Sometimes we just have to pause and thank God for the blessings today. I know you don't have all that you want to have. And I know you got a lot of dreams and goals. But don't lose sight of giving God thanks for what you have in the moment. Give him thanks. Give him praise. It can never be stopped, his goodness. And when we give thanks, it strengthens our faith because we're constantly thinking about God did this. If you don't ever slow down to think about what God has done in your life, then you'll never be a grateful, thankful person. You won't. But let's thank God for what he's done, right? I mean, God brought you through this, and God blessed you here, and God gave you this ability, and all that's from God. So we have a ton of things to be thankful for, but let's pause today and just tell God thank you. One of my kids was complaining, I won't say which one, the other day, and guess what their punishment was? Gina had them make a list of 20 things they were grateful for, and they had to read the list to the family. How about that? We don't have whining in the Heller household, right? If there's whining, there's list making, right? We're getting rid of that. I don't have enough of this. I wish I could do. No. Get your list going, you know? My kids were like, I'm a lot more blessed than I thought I was, you know? I didn't realize how blessed I was, so I started making the list. That's a good thing. Let's remember what God has done. And then there's a second thing that happens. When we do this, it focuses our mind on the right things, right? Because when you're giving God thanks, you're not worrying about your problems. See, you're not riding the bicycle. See, you're too busy to worry about tomorrow because you're giving God praise and thanks for all that he's done in your life today. So we can give God thanks in our prayers. We can give God thanks in so many different ways. We can thank other people. It was powerful. In fact, we ought to go on our social media platforms today and thank somebody. Amen? Let's have a heart that is grateful to people and to God for the things that we have. That's how we embrace today. That's how we make today the best that it can possibly be. There's also a second thing. Today, I will trust God completely. This is a bold act of faith here in verses 5 and 6. The psalmist says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord. That word distressed means to be in a tight place, to be cramped. See, when you're distressed, you feel backed into a corner, or we might say it this way, between a rock and a hard place. So when I was between a rock and a hard place, I did what? I prayed to the Lord. See, when we get into a narrow place, what we don't pray, we worry, is what we do. That's how we respond. What if we turned our worry list into a prayer list? Okay? What if we responded when we get crammed in a corner? I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to pray. This is what the psalmist said. Check this out. I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. Whoa. If you don't call, God will not answer. Okay? If you don't call, God won't answer. But he says here, I prayed to the Lord answered, and then I love this last part, and he set me free. I was crammed in the corner, and I prayed to the Lord, and then God set me free. God set me free from my past guilt and shame. God set me free from anxiety. God set me free from uncertainty. God set me free. God set me free. God set me free. I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he set me free. Whoa. Today I will trust God completely, right? At first there was distress, and then finally there was freedom. Billy Graham has a great quote. He says, anxiety is the natural result when hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for our life. When you're not focused on the Lord, you are going to be anxious. When you're like, man, I love God above everything else, it just gives us a fresh focus, doesn't it? Just changes some things in us. When prayer goes up, I love to say this, and I want you to say it with me. When prayer goes up, everybody get your hand out, okay? When prayer goes up, worry goes down. Okay, say it with me, all right? When prayer goes up, worry goes down. When prayer goes up, worry goes down. Doesn't that feel good? It's kind of like a seesaw. Do you guys remember seesaws? As a kid, I love seesaws. I think they have been banned from all playgrounds. I don't see seesaws anymore. They are dangerous, but they're so much fun. I was always the skinny kid in the class, and so the big kids always wanted to get on the seesaw with me, and seesaws were dangerous, you know. So the big kid would, like, there was different ways to torture little kids on the playground. One way you could do it is the big kid could just sit down on the ground and watch the little kid dangle in the air, and he could do nothing, okay? The other thing he could do is he could stick you up in the air, and then while you're dangling, then just jump off of it, and then you crash to the ground. I mean, that's dangerous stuff back in the day. It's a wonder any of us are still alive, right? Playgrounds were dangerous. Metal slides. The metal slides used to, like, bake in the hot sun for like 4 hours, give kids first-degree burns when they were sliding down. What were the engineers thinking? Then there was always tetherball. One kid's always smacking the other kid in the nose with the tetherball, bloody nose, going to the nurse's station. You know, my favorite, though, was the merry-go-round. Oh, that was genius, wasn't it? The fifth graders are getting it going really fast, and the kindergartners are trying to get on there, and they can't run fast enough, and they're chasing it around and around and around until they fall. And then there's always like a third grader that's hanging onto the rail who's like parallel with the ground. He's screaming, stop. While the big kids are like, go faster. And then you see kids flinging off on the playground, running into things. Unbelievable. Everything's so safe now. Come on, man. I see playgrounds today, I'm like, I don't get it. When worry goes up, prayer goes down. When prayer goes up, worry goes down. It's like a seesaw. Where are you on the seesaw? Where are you today on that? And he says in verse 5, God hears prayers. Isn't that great? See, when you pray, it's not like you're just throwing something out there and just hoping that it sticks. God hears prayers. He really does. Prayer is handing over problems. God, I've got this big backpack, this weight on my life. I'm going to take this off. I'm going to give this to you. So God hears those prayers. That's how prayer liberates. Okay? We think we have all the answers to our problems, but in prayer we realize God has the answers. See, here's a great way to be anxious. Believe that you have the answer to every problem. That's a big burden to carry, right? That's why when I talk to people that are atheists, I'm like, I don't know how you guys do it. You know? I really don't. I don't get it. Because I need the Lord. I need God. Without God, I got very little. So the psalmist says, I prayed and God answered and heard my prayer and he set me free. And so we're turning those prayers over to God. The Lord answered me. And whenever I have negative circumstances, I stay positive because I know God's going to set me free. Okay? Here's another thing in verse 6. God's for me. Okay? There is nothing worse in the world than feeling like God is against you. We did a whole message on this a couple weeks ago. God's for us. And it's echoed here in Psalm 118. God is for us. The reason that I keep fighting and keep believing God for great things is because I know that God is on my side. And when Jesus is in your life, guess what? God's on your side too. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible never promises that things will be easy, but the Bible does say that God will be with us, that God will empower us, that God cares for us, that God empathizes with us. All that is true. We need God. We need Him. And man cannot go around the will of God. I know you got some people in your life or it feels like they're God in a way, you know. Maybe you work for somebody, you got a boss or a supervisor or a next door neighbor or somebody that intimidates you. But let me remind you that people are merely pawns in the hands of an almighty God. Everything that happens in the world happens under God's auspices. Don't forget that. God is the one that's in control. That's why we don't fear man. We fear God. Okay? We respect God. We reverence God. But we don't fear people. Because people are pawns to God. And God will use believers and non-believers. Read the Bible. Some of the most profound things that God ever did in the Bible, He did. And He used unbelievers to propel people that were on God's side to do great things. Okay? All right, number C here. Today I will triumph. Though hostile nations surround me, I destroy them all with the authority of the Lord. And yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, David said, I think it was David, the psalmist said this, all these people were attacking me, but God was with me, and I took them out. We need to stop looking at the odds and to start looking at God. You know, whenever there's a big ball game, everybody talks about the odds. You know, the Super Bowl comes up. This team has a, 10-1 chance to win the Super Bowl. Or whenever there's a political election, people will do odds, right? And sometimes when we have problems, we're looking at the odds rather than we're looking at God. We're like, I got a 50% chance of getting this done. I think I got a 75% chance of getting... Remember, with God on your side, that all the odds go out the window. It's not about the odds. Shamgar, in the book of Judges, took out 600 Philistines with a spear. Okay? Terrible odds, but a great God. Okay? Terrible odds, but a great God. So, today, you're going to walk in victory. You're going to triumph. Hey, you're going to be in some battles. You are. And you're going to have some bruises and some scars. You are. But remember this. When you walk with God, you're going to walk in victory. You're going to walk in power and strength. And then finally, today I will tell. Today I will tell. Yeah. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly, the strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. And that verse 17 says, I will tell what the Lord has done. See, if you're going to make today count, you got to tell people what God has done. We are way too quiet and to telling people the great things that God has done. Somebody in our church was given a car this week who really needed a car. Guess what? She's got a story to tell. She's been telling everybody. She's been giving God praise. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? I know God's done some things in your life. Let's tell the story. I was talking to somebody who's not a believer this week, and I wasn't like doing this intentionally. I was just sharing what was on my heart. I was like, you know what? I prayed about it. I was going to do this. I changed my mind. I'm going to do this because I feel like this is what God wants. And this person's on the phone going, man, I never heard people talk like this before. You know, And it wasn't like rocket science spirituality. It was just in, you know, it's just me talking. It's just you talking. And you know what? That person doesn't have anybody in their life that talks to them about the things of God. I think sometimes we make talking about God too complicated, right? We're like, I got to memorize this verse. I got to say these points. I got to explain this. No. You just share what God is doing in your life, okay? Just share about how God has given you the victory. You just share about what the Lord is telling you and just let it come out of you. We spend way too much time worrying about the questions that somebody who's not a believer may ask us. And so we don't say anything about God because we're afraid that somebody's going to ask us if dinosaurs lived in North America or South America. You know? I tell people I don't know sometimes, you know? I really do. But you know what? I've also found that people are not asking all of the questions that I think that they're asking. You know what people really want to know that are non-believers? They want to know, what is the purpose of my life? Is there truths in the Bible that could help me in the 21st century living? Could the Bible be relevant in my life? Does God care about me? Those are the things that people are thinking about, right? Primarily. Now, I know there's some weirdos that have other questions, okay? But I'm talking about most people. Let's talk about the works of God. Let's share the story of what God is doing in our life. Listen, if you don't talk about God to those people, who else is going to? Nobody. You're the only person in their life that has any thought of the Lord. So let's tell the story. And that's why verse 17 says, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. Amen? Can that be our prayer this week? I will live to tell what God has done. Now, I know I'm a little over on the time here, but I'm just going to keep going. Amen? Okay, here we go. In verse 22, the Bible says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And David, or the king, is talking about the fact that he's been rejected by the people, but God had chosen him, and so he was victorious. Jesus quotes this verse in the Gospels to speak of himself. Jesus refers to himself as the cornerstone that the builders rejected. When a building was being built in the ancient world, they would pick the stones upon which to build the foundation, and they would pick the best stone. And Jesus said, I was the stone that everybody else overlooked. Nobody thought I was the real deal. The builders rejected, the Jewish people rejected me, but I was really the cornerstone. And when the cornerstone is laid correctly, guess what? The foundation can be built, the walls can be erected, and the roof could be constructed, right? But it all starts with the cornerstone, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. You see, if we're going to live in today, we got to understand who Jesus is. And even though Jesus has not come on the scene in Psalm 118, this is a messianic prophecy about the coming of Jesus. And then finally, in verse 26, it says, Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord, which was quoted of Jesus when he rides into the city of Jerusalem right before his crucifixion. People were saying the same thing about him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We need to give Jesus praise for all that we have. Let's make it our goal to not be dominated by the guilt of the past. Let's don't worry about tomorrow. Let's pursue the purposes that God has for us today so that we can maximize the time that we have here on earth, and let's tell the story of the great things that God has done.